Welcome to the LS Elko Podcast. Whether you're new to Christianity or you've been walking with Jesus for years, we hope this content encourages and challenges you to take your faith or your involvement at your church to the next level. I don't know what we're doing. I feel a little unprepared.
Yeah, me too. But not like wildly unprepared. I talk every day, actually.
It's so true. You do you do talk every day.
Mm-hmm. A lot.
All the days. Yeah. All the days.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember, but my dad preached a sermon here one time where he was like, the average person uses, I don't know, what did he say, like 6,000 words a day?
Yeah, and then he said that I talk the most.
Yeah, he used both of us as sermon examples.
That is actually true.
Yeah, that we talk more in the millions than the thousands. So we're prepared, actually. We're ready to go.
Well, welcome to the Next Level Podcast, where we're going to answer your questions. We're going to talk about things that are important to our church and maybe yours if you don't go to Living Stones. And I am here with Michaela Bates.
Well, actually.
Our wonderful producer.
Michaela Sparks now. Not legally, but.
It's going to take a long time for me to remember that.
Yeah.
Michaela recently got married. We're very excited for her. Congratulations, Michaela.
Thank you so much.
That's great.
And thank you for officiating my wedding.
It was wonderful. I was honored that you asked me to do that. Yeah. Very, very cool.
Yeah. So I'm Michaela Sparks. I'm going to be producing this podcast. And we're also here with Pastor Garrett Camps, our executive pastor.
Great.
Here at Living Stones Elko.
That's a thing. That's what I am.
Yeah.
Well, what are we here to talk about today? I know that you put some feelers out online, mm-hmm. and you asked people to ask some important questions.
Yeah.
And so what are we going to talk about today?
Yeah. So today we're going to treat this a little bit like a Q&A. But instead of having kind of, you know, like a live feed of questions, we have them written down right here on a cute little Google Doc. We were expecting to get questions more specifically pertaining to our current sermon series.
I was too, yeah.
Yeah, but we got all kinds of different questions. You want to just go ahead and dive in with a couple of them?
Let's dive in.
All right. Well, speaking of our sermon series, one of our first questions was, how does Living Stones plan its sermon series?
That's a good question. The structure of our church, the structure of our churches, mm-hmm. Is that we have 9 churches in the Living Stones family of churches. It's like a network. We're a small church planning network in Northern Nevada. And our lead pastors for each church, the lead teaching, preaching, vision guys, they spend a lot of time together every single week. They're actually on a Zoom call or some sort of meeting together just for general planning and structure of our churches. And they look out, seems like maybe about 6 months, and they're really just looking at what is God doing in our churches and how can we help speak into that. And so they put ideas out there, they're looking at opportunities to go line by line, verse by verse, through books of the Bible, and they pick one. They take some time to look at how long that might take. They spend some time in that book figuring out, you know, how, you know, which chapters are we going through, and what time frame are we doing that? And that's really how that gets chosen. So the beauty of having all 9 of them there is that there's a great kind of a collaboration and a collaborative effect that helps them to see kind of the trajectory of all of our churches and hopefully choose something that will really, really help us as we walk through. So that's how we ended up in Revelation.
Nice. Very cool. So pretty much all 9 churches are going through like the same stuff every week?
They are every week. I think we have a couple of churches that may be a week behind, just depending on their own schedules. But for the most part, we are all in the same series, unless it's a standalone sermon series, which is usually an opportunity for each church to dive into something that helps, you know, in their context instead of the context of all churches. We usually get one or two of those smaller sermon series each year.
And we had one of those this summer, right? When we went over our core values.
We did.
Yep. And some of the other churches were doing some other stuff.
Yep. And I don't remember what everybody did, but some of us did core values. Some of us just did other vision type sermons. And yeah, just helps us to also be autonomous as we're a part of a church planning network that kind of maintains the same sermon series and stuff like that.
Nice. Yeah, very
that's cool. How that works.
Very cool. I like that. One of our core values is like unity and diversity. I think it's cool that even though, like, you know, Reno Midtown is like in the middle of this huge city and we're way out here in Elko in the rural areas. We all get to be unified over just like what we're studying in the Bible. That's pretty cool.
That's very, very cool.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Cool.
Well, thank you for that question. Our next one is from Lauren and she asks, can we do a children's Christmas program?
We've been asked this for a couple of years and, you know, I hate telling people no, especially with kids and everything. But I think what we really find is that we have a limited capacity to do things well.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, you know, we're mostly a volunteer-run organization, like most churches are. And the more that you ask people to do things, the more you ask them to volunteer, you know, the lower their capacity for doing more things becomes. Yeah. And so I'm not saying that we would never do any sort of children's program. I'm just saying that at this stage of the game and in our, you know, in our church, we're just not ready to take on something like that to do it well mm-hmm. and to do it in excellence. That said, we do family services, which I think are pretty awesome. Oh,
so fun.
So for good.
Real. Yeah.
And I think that's a great chance for us to see how our kids are doing, to engage them in general Sunday worship and serving and all of those things. And so I would say for the time being, we'll continue doing the family services. And maybe by God's grace, as we grow, there will be opportunities for something like a kids' Christmas program, but I'm not sure that this year or in the foreseeable future that'll be a priority yet.
Yeah.
We'll see.
That's fair.
We'll see.
That's fair. Very nice. Very nice. Well, our next question actually was submitted by my mom, and she would like to know why Nathan Hornback, our lead and preaching pastor, is such a weirdo. Why is that?
I don't know how to answer that question. that's really funny, actually.
Yeah.
But I would just say, I think Nathan is an authentic person.
Yeah.
And I think that he just doesn't have much in the way of inhibitions. So he is just who he decides to be at any given time.
Yeah.
I find that charming. He's a good friend of mine. And I love how spontaneous and kind of crazy he can be. It's really great. It's really awesome. I think it's helpful.
Yeah.
But
I think so too.
You know, for your mom's sake, maybe she's weird. I don't know.
Yeah. Honestly, I think that we're all a little weird, you know.
We're all a little weird.
I just think that every human is weird in their own way. I remember a couple of years ago I was just showing all these different selfies that I had taken at a church service to my coworkers. And they were like, why is one of your pastors wearing a Star Wars t-shirt? That's weird.
Was that me?
It probably was you.
Oh, no.
But they were very surprised that you guys weren't wearing, you know, some sort of robe or the little white collars or something like that. And it was a cool opportunity for a conversation. I got to just tell them that you guys are just normal guys and you wear hats and flannels and Star Wars t-shirts. but yeah, I just think it speaks, and it, like there's a running joke around here about, you know, Livingstone's pastors wearing their flannels and having their tattoos and all of that jazz, that there's just like a stereotype kind of, but the stereotype is just like average people. It's nothing spectacular, and I think that that's been really cool when we go to different conferences and when we get to go visit the other 9 Livingstone's churches, that none of the pastors in our whole body of churches are very fancy or very formal or I don't know if presumptuous is the right word, but you guys are all Star Wars t-shirt, flannel, hat wearing type of guys. And I just think it kind of speaks volume about the kind of people that are welcome in our church. You know, you don't have to come in your Sunday finest or whatever it's called, to roll up to Livingstone's churches. And I think that's pretty cool.
So, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. And I would agree that, especially in Elko's context, I just don't believe that is what people resonate with. Most people out here are putting on their work boots and they're putting on a pair of jeans, and they are going to go to work. They are not going to an office space. They're going underground mining, or they are, you know, those sort of things. And so the more that we can make what we do here, worshiping Jesus and just preaching the gospel as shamelessly as possible, the more that we can make that accessible for somebody, I think it's just really important. I think it's really, really important, because if somebody comes in and feels like they don't belong or don't fit simply because they don't meet some sort of dress requirement, then I think we've failed to allow somebody to belong here.
And
I know that that's all cultural. I know that's all contextual. And there's many people who would argue with me over, you know, nice clothes wearing and things like that. But I'll tell you what, I'd rather have a dressed down church filled with people who love Jesus than a dressed up church with people who are worried what everyone else thinks.
I think it's, I think this question is interesting too, because she asks, you know, why is Nathan so weird? And I just have to imagine that, like, way back in the day, people were also like, that Jesus guy is weird, you know? And there's no doubt that he was not, he wasn't wearing fancy formal clothes, and he wasn't, you know, trying to impress others and that kind of thing, you know? Pretty sure Jesus and the disciples were wearing whatever ragtags they had on their back, you know, and being authentically themselves and stuff. And so I think, yeah, there's no dress code and no attitude code or language code or whatever when it comes to following Jesus, you know? So
that's great. And yeah, you make a great point that Jesus was accused of hanging out with the wrong type of people, of not being what he was expected to be from those who were in power. And it's not like Jesus was some huge rebel. It was just simply that he saw opportunities where others saw something else. And I think that's really important, especially here in Elko, that there's a great opportunity to tell people about Jesus. There's a great opportunity to invite them in. But if we're creating barriers to entry that God didn't create himself, then we don't want to be in that space.
That's good.
You should ask a question that Pastor Nathan asked, because I think that'd be a really great follow-up for this.
So Pastor Nathan submitted the question, what is a way that the church today can stay faithful to Christian orthodoxy, but also be effective at reaching new generations?
That's good. So I think that this is a huge question. And when I say a huge question, I mean, lots of people are asking this. And lots of people ask it because they get online and they see, you know, quote unquote, mega churches, and they're doing these crazy things, and they've got screens and they've got video, and, you know, and they've got, you know, $4,000 tennis shoes. And I might have some problems with the $4,000 tennis shoes. That does seem a little bit messy to me, but but let's talk about message and let's talk about mission. So Pastor Nathan used the word orthodoxy, and if you're like, I don't know what that means, I'm not a big word.
That was going to be my first question, is what exactly does orthodoxy mean?
Orthodoxy just means general, like it's generally accepted. So orthodoxy for Christians would be what is generally accepted in Christian circles. What's not stepping outside of what the average Christian or Jesus follower believes. And so that's kind of a sort of a definition. But what we would subscribe to things like the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed, if you know what those are. Those are just simple distillations that came directly from Scripture, where people from long time ago, hundreds of years ago, sat down together and said, what can we all say we believe? Like, what can we all agree on that we believe? And so they created the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, you know, that helped them to just say in one simple statement something that they could all agree with, though there are little things outside of that that, you know, lots of people explore and consider, because Scripture is a lot. There's a lot in there, and there's a lot of different things that we can glean from it, and some of which are more questionable, some of which are more difficult to kind of nail down. So orthodoxy is really just about saying, hey, what's the most important things that we can all say we agree on, so that when we kind of get these other open-handed less important things. We don't get hung up on those.
Gotcha.
And so what Pastor Nathan's question is really asking is, you know, how do you stay relevant? How do you stay, you know, quote unquote relevant as evangelists, as people trying to tell others about Jesus? How do you stay relevant and reach these new groups without stepping outside of the bounds of what God has called us to? And so, yeah, I really look at that as like I said, methods and message.
Yeah.
And the reality is the message is simple. Mm-hmm. The message is simply this. Man is more sinful than he could ever imagine, but God is more gracious than we could ever imagine. And God sent his son Jesus for us. And so when we keep that at the forefront, when that message is at the forefront, the method by which you reach others with the truth that Jesus came, lived, died, and resurrected for those who trust in him. And he's calling, you know, he's calling people to himself. So long as we're keeping that at the forefront, the method is a little less important. A great thing that I was looking at is there's this story. It's from Acts 17, and it's where it's actually where Paul goes up to what's called the Areopagus, and that was just a place where people were exploring new philosophical ideas. That's what it was. Okay. So Paul goes there, and he goes to the Areopagus, which is this outcropping of rocks. If you could imagine, it would have been it probably would have been hot out or sunny out or whatever. People would be reclining and kind of relaxing, but there for the purpose of listening to new ideas and new concepts. Mm. And Paul goes up there, and he does a great job of contextualizing the gospel for these people who are up there listening. But what I think gets missed a lot in this story is that the Areopagus was a very specific type of place.
Okay.
It was a place that probably wouldn't have been frequented by the religious elite because a lot of the ideas expressed there were Greek in their kind of Herod, the Greeks were very interested in philosophy and ideas about how things, and they brought, of course, different ideas of gods and spirituality into things. And so, you know, religious kind of elite, those Jewish rabbis, they probably wouldn't have spent much time there because that wasn't a place for them. But Paul has no issue. He traveled there for the purpose of going up there and proclaiming the gospel to everybody. And he does so beautifully. He actually, you know, he walks along this street that has all of these little gods everywhere, these little statues and all of these little places where people would worship these gods. And he acknowledges that the people there are very religious, that they're very spiritually minded.
Yeah.
He actually kind of congratulates them on that. He's like, you know, hey, you're very spiritually minded. I'm very, like, I can see that. I can see that you really care about, the spiritual realm. And he said, but I saw over here, he says, I see a place where you are worshiping the unknown God. And then he goes and says, I know who the unknown God is. And he makes all of these gods look like nothing. And he explains who the God of the Bible is. But I bring this up to say, Paul had the message, and the message was Jesus has come. Jesus saves. That's what Paul came to say. But the method that he used to reach people was really whatever it took. Mm-hmm. And scripture says some of the men doubted what he had to say and weren't interested. And some said, we're going to talk more about this. They said, we're very interested in what you're talking about. So Paul didn't let methods stop him from doing anything.
Gotcha, yeah.
He really stepped into that. And I think there are 100 areas in the modern world where we can see maybe controversy about methods.
Oh, yeah.
But I would just say that so long as the message is consistent,
yeah,
and the message is consistent with Scripture, with what God has shown us through there, I think we can be a little less concerned about the methods. We use a lot of digital content here. Hey, we're doing a podcast right now. We're recording it on video. I don't know what that's going to look like.
Yeah.
Might be weird.
Might be.
Might be weird. But I think it's really important to acknowledge that these are ways that we can reach people.
Yeah.
We create content for the purpose of having something to share that everybody might be actually interested in. I mean, it's not hard to hand somebody a Bible and ask them to read it, but in a context where most of what we're doing is watching television or we're on our phones, we're on these things. I think it's a lot harder to give somebody the word in that respect than it is to share something with them that might reach them. Yeah. And, you know, a podcast, a video, live streaming your service, allowing the front door of your church, you know, the that live stream to be the kind of a front door access point where people don't necessarily have to travel down to where you are, but they can see what it is that's going on and what's being taught. Yeah. It's an opportunity. It's just an opportunity. And I know there are many people who would say, well, that's not worship. And I'd actually agree with them. That I think worship is something that happens together with God's people. But I just also think there are many other ways that we can share the good news with people that doesn't require them to come somewhere.
Right.
Paul went to those people.
Yeah.
He went to the area. He traveled for the purpose of going somewhere where what he had to say would probably be considered a little bit weird.
Right.
And he ensured that he engaged them in a way that they would recognize and that they would understand, and that many people likely met the real Jesus because of what Paul did.
Yeah.
So what's the method and what's the message?
Yeah.
That's so good. Do you think that answers the question?
I think so. I think so. Yeah. Staying true to Jesus and his teachings and following him. And then being able to explore some of these, whatever you want to call them, millennial or Gen Z avenues to get it out there. I think that that's really important. One of our social media managers, me and Nathan, kind of split that responsibility. And I do a lot of our video editing and getting it out online and all of that jazz. And I've had the blessing of like getting to hear feedback from people who are close to me and people that I like just barely met in the grocery store that tell me about watching our Living Stones YouTube page and following our social media and stuff like that. And I think that that's huge. One of my closest friends, she lives in another state, and she grew up here in Elko and went to Living Stones, and then she lives in another state now. And she talks about all the time how she just misses church so much. And right now with her work schedule, she's a wildland firefighter. She can't go to church on Sundays ever. She works every single Sunday for the entire summer, right? I had just this huge blessing of getting to hear her talking about logging online and getting to still get a little bit of home and get a little bit of church and get a whole lot of Jesus through our social media and through our YouTube page and everything. And that was so huge, you know? And then it's also little interactions like going to the grocery store and just meeting random people who are like, oh, do you go to Living Stones? I watch on YouTube and I watch every week and whatever. And like, that's so huge, you know? I think that it's both, you know, Gen Z and our little baby Gen Alphas who are coming up now, are going to be so much more, prone to looking online for things first, you know, like before they step foot in our building, they're going to check us out on Instagram. You know, they're going to see our YouTube channel and what we look like and what our vibes are before they step in the building. And so I think that it would be a missed opportunity to just not use these different methods, you know? And I think that we are striving and trying our best to make our social media presence, something that's God honoring and something that Jesus is fully a part of, and what it's like Jesus is what's fueling our social media posts and our YouTube presence and hopefully this podcast and everything, right? And so, I think that there's absolutely a space where you can be, you know, staying true to orthodoxy, Christian orthodoxy, and using these new media methods and these new things to reach out to new believers and younger generations and stuff. So
that's good.
Yeah.
I have two more things to say about that I was just thinking while you were talking, because it's really important. You know, a lot of churches they're concerned about the digital spaces,
right?
Because they don't want to detract from the very real worship that happens when God's people come together. Yeah. And I fully understand that. I have concerns about that myself. But what I find very interesting and what we really saw in 2020 was how many people were shepherded and pastored somewhere else because their church wasn't ready to engage in those spaces where they had access to. And I have a much larger concern that our people wouldn't have enough good, God-glorifying content, if you will, from their own church, that they would go somewhere else. And you know, by God's grace, they're well-versed enough. They're in the word enough to not be confused by false doctrine or something like that. But I do think it's important that we engage that particular space to ensure that people are being taught, that they are being shepherded when they can be. We live in a community where realistically the average mind schedule makes it very difficult for people to be faithful in their Sunday worship because that's just not how the schedules work. Yeah. How are we making sure that they can stay connected to their church and they can press onward in their relationship with Jesus? They can learn, they can worship, they can feel that sense of connection. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things that I ever heard was that Buzz Aldrin, who was one of the first men on the moon, as they orbited the moon, I'm going to get a little teary because this is pretty incredible, but you're allowed to take a couple of personal items when you go up. You know, rockets are a big deal and they carry a lot of weight. So they're like, hey, you can only take small things, but you know, take something up there that you want. He brought communion with him.
Oh, wow.
He brought some wine and he brought a little bit of bread. And he took a moment while he was orbiting the moon to take communion and remember what had been done for him in Christ Jesus. And what he said afterwards was really profound. Mm-hmm. He said, what this did is it connected me thousands of miles away from the earth. Yeah. It connected me with those people who I identify with and who love Jesus so far away. And it made me feel like we were together in this. And I mean, that was incredible to me. And, you know, the radio programming actually cut that portion out because they were worried that it would be offensive and all these things, you know, even back in 1969. But it's such a powerful thing to realize that, yes, sometimes we are isolated. Sometimes we are far away. Yeah. But it is the worshiping of the saints. It's those things that remind us that, you know, we're his. And that there's goodness to be shared even from a distance. And so we're going to use these methods. We're going to use these methods. But the other thing I wanted to mention as well, though, is we're always looking for new opportunities that don't sacrifice the message, but are maybe a new method to reach somebody. And I think that in our digital world, we always feel like it's digital, but it isn't always, is it? There are plenty of opportunities to meet with people and to engage people and to try to draw people that is outside of the digital realm. And that usually tends to be things that engage your community, things that invite others in. Yeah. Yeah. And that was actually a question that I was going to have for you. As we think about those things, we do have these new generations and, you know, I'm getting older. And you still seem very young to me, but the older I get, the more I get concerned is like, you know, hey, I know the things that I'm interested in. I know the things that make me think about things and make me interested in a church or a program or whatever. But some of these younger people, you know, they're not me and they're not interested in those things. And I'm very curious as we press forward, what kind of methods, what kind of ways that we'll be looking to engage this younger generation. Do you have any ideas or thoughts about that?
Yeah. I think it's just really important to remember that like our church is not just one generation or the other, you know? And I also have like the honor and the blessing of getting to be a youth group leader for our church, the LS Roots. I serve mostly in the high school group. And I think part of the reason I maybe still come off young, even though I'm pushing 30.
pushing 30.
Yeah, getting there. I get to keep my finger on the pulse by hanging out with our kids and LS kids on Sunday mornings. I get to hang out with like the first through fourth graders most weeks. And then I also get to hang out with our high school and middle school students on Sundays and Tuesday nights and stuff. And so I get to hear from them, you know, what kind of content they're consuming on a regular basis. We only have like a handful of kids, even in the middle school group, whose parents still don't let them have phones. Like all of them have phones. They all have iPhones. They're all on YouTube. They're all on Instagram. You know,
my kids don't have phones.
I know. That's rare.
I'm in trouble.
It's rare. Yeah. It's kind of cool though. You know, just to see kids that are still being raised kind of 90s style. I do think that that's cool. But yeah, most of them, they are all over social media, you know? And so something that we hear about all the time in LS Roots on Tuesday nights is that the kids constantly want to make reels, you know, and they want to take pictures for the Instagram and stuff like that. And I've failed them already many times. There's many Tuesdays where we make no reels and no funny pictures. They love the 0.5 pictures. And so, yeah, I think that like anticipating what these kids are going to be interested in mostly just has to do with getting to know them and being in relationship with them and asking them what they're interested in, you know? I've had a couple conversations with our kids where I'm like, what do you like about our church? And what do you think should be different about the church and blah, 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 whatever. And they always surprise me because what they love about our church is the same things that I think, you know, my parents would say that they love about this church and even people older than my parents love about this church. And it's usually the people, you know, the answer is almost always they love the worship. They love our worship team. And they love getting to get together with the family of God week after week. That's what they love. They love the friends that they've made at youth group, and they love, they say that they love the vibes of our church, and I have to agree, our vibes are prime. But
wow, idea what that means. That's good.
The vibes are prime. It's a good thing. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
It's a good thing. Yeah.
I'm going to use that from here on out. Vibes are prime.
Yeah, the vibes are prime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to use it wrong.
Maybe.
We'll but I'm going to try.
There you go. Yeah, but I just think, these kids, they do have a different mindset as far as it comes to connection and pursuing like friendships and stuff like that. It's a lot more online than what you grew up with and even what I grew up with, you know? But it is, it's driven by Jesus and it's driven by the family of God and the people that they've gotten to know. And so I think that that's what we're striving for with our media teams and stuff, is to continue to invite people in to get connected to the family of God, and show them what that looks like. We have an awesome photography team, and I love getting to review the pictures like Sunday after Sunday of people just smiling as they enter the building, people giving like huge hugs during greeting time, the handshaking, all of that jazz. I think that it's beautiful to see. And so we're trying to get those pictures of just the joy that comes from being a member of the family of God.
It's good.
Out on social media. And so that people who are even just sitting at home scrolling on their phone, on their For You page or whatever, can come across something from Living Stones Elko, from our church, and they can feel from the couch that our vibes are prime here. And in those posts, giving the glory to God, you know? And so I don't know if that fully answered your question, but
no, I think it does. I think what I heard that was important is you actually have to have conversations with these people.
Oh, absolutely.
If you're hoping to reach somebody, you know, you can come up with whatever method that you want, but your method could be as old as you are.
Yeah.
And if you don't have any idea what young people are looking for, the next generation, then you might find yourself in a position to have, you know, the gospel obviously is of value to them, but if that's not contextualized into something that they understand, they're not going to engage with it. Yeah. You know, Paul didn't walk up and say, all of your gods are bad, evil, and demonic. Yeah. He walked up and said, hey, I understand you're very spiritual.
Yeah.
He understood, he learned something about the people. People cared about these things. And what he did is he went in and he made sure that the words that he was going to speak were relevant and made sense to them. But the message was still the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
The message didn't change, but the method did. Yeah. That's a great question.
Yeah.
I think we've got time for another one.
Time for another one? All right. Let's see. So. Oh, this was actually just a question that I had. That I was curious about. So I started going to this church a little over 10 years ago when I was 16. And so I've been kind of a part of our church family and everything for a long time. But I remember hearing rumors when I was a teenager that LS Elko was the fastest growing church in America for a stretch. And that's like huge. We live in a tiny town. And so I've always just been curious, like, how true is that? Like, how did that rumor come about, you know?
Okay. So there was a group back during that time that you're talking about, maybe 10, 12 years ago, that was very, very interested in seeing who was growing, who is doing something. And it was really interesting because I wasn't in Elko at the time when that was happening. Oh, I was actually in Reno, and actually the Reno church as well, or what I would call the Midtown campus. They don't like that, but that's what I'm going to call it because that's where they are. They're in Midtown. They had been on that list as well. And it's a publication. I don't remember exactly which one it is, but it records, you know, you can send in your numbers over time. And they'll compare them against other churches and they will see, you know, who's doing what. And I think at the time that felt very exciting. I think at the time that felt very, very cool. But if I'm being really honest, I don't know that it was incredibly helpful. I'm trying to figure out how to say this in a non-disparaging way, but I think at some point you can be too concerned with your numbers.
Yeah.
I think at some point you can be more concerned with growing. Cause you can grow anything. I'm so grateful to God that he has grown our church in the way that he has. Yeah. We're the largest church by far in the region. Praise God for these things by numbers. Mm-hmm. We have a great influence, in one of the largest counties in the United States. This is all incredible stuff. But at the end of the day, I'll tell you what the most important thing was.
Yeah.
And it was watching people step into that baptism, that baptismal.
Yeah.
That's what I think is important is watching lives change, because I just don't want to take a bunch of believers from other churches and call them to our church and then record the numbers so that we can watch things grow and grow and grow and grow. What I want to see is what God is doing in the lives of people who have never heard of him before. Or people who have walked away from him. I want to see what's going on there. So the answer to your question is, I think it's a possibility. I know that Elko Church made the top 10 fastest growing churches in the nation. I think it's a distinct possibility that it could have remained on that list in the top 100 growing churches in the nation. But we purposely removed ourselves from those metrics.
Gotcha.
Because I think that overall, we just didn't see it as an incredible value.
Yeah.
I don't want people to be interested because lots of people go here. I want people to be interested because the Spirit of God is moving in our church people are committing themselves to Jesus. And I want people to say, what the heck is going on there?
Yeah.
Not why are so many people going there?
Yeah. That's awesome.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
That answer totally your question?
Fair. Yeah.
I know that was a little bit negative way of responding to it, but now there was actually, I remember very specifically that there was a point where the planting pastor for all Living Stones, Harvey Turner, said, we're pulling ourselves off of those metrics because this is not healthy or helpful for us. Yeah. We don't want transfer growth. We don't want people interested who already know Jesus. We want to reach people who don't.
Yeah. That's good.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Michaela,
yeah.
If you had a goal for this particular method of getting out the message, this podcast, the Next Level Podcast, what would be your goal for this?
I would love to see this podcast be a blessing to people in our church locally, and then also churches outside of Elko, different churches inside of Elko. Our goal is for this podcast to provide a way for you to take your relationship with God or your relationship with your local church to the next level. You can hear the sirens.
You can absolutely hear sirens. It's really sad. Somebody's probably got a car accident or something, but
got fire trucks and stuff going. I'll just take it back.
It is what it is. You shouldn't cut this out.
Okay.
I think everybody needs to hear that we're on the busiest intersection in Elko. And there is going to be constant vehicle noise and everything. Doesn't matter how much sound deadening we do in this room. Yeah. You're going to hear it, it's listener. So you're going to hear it.
Yeah. We hope that this podcast will be a blessing to you and help you guys build your relationship with God and your relationship with your local church. And even more than that, I just hope that this provides a space for people to ask their questions and get them answered, learn more about Jesus and stuff that's going on in the Bible, get to hear people's testimonies and be blessed by those and encouraged by those, for me personally, I would just be, I'm a voice on this podcast, but I'm excited to throw it into this, into my podcast rotation. You know, I listen to a couple of comedy podcasts. I listen to, the Survivor podcast every Thursday morning. Oh, wow. And a couple of different things, you know, but I'm excited just to, have an additional, Christian based, God fueled, thing to put into my ears and to listen to week after week, you know, or maybe not week after week, but
we'll see what we can do. We'll see what we can do.
But yeah, I just think that, we all are so into our phones and into our earbuds and the TV that we watch and the social media that we consume day after day. I'm excited for this to be, just a Jesus fueled thing that people get to listen to. And yeah, my hope and my goal for this is just that it will be a blessing, that we can pursue Jesus through this podcast further, you know?
So good.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Do you have a goal for our podcast?
Absolutely. I would just love another avenue of discipleship, another avenue of people being able to, you know, we got a lot of guys out there who are putting headphones in and going to work and doing their jobs. And if we can give them something that encourages them, that disciples them, maybe some new information, some knowledge, or some transformative information that helps them, like you said, take their faith to the next level. That would be my goal, and I'd be very excited if that actually worked. Where can people send their questions to?
Well, we have our social medias. We are LS Elko on Facebook, Living Stones Elko on Facebook.
They can just shoot like a messenger message?
Yeah, they can shoot a messenger message. You can drop it in any comments. We're going to post pretty regularly an opportunity for you guys to post your questions in there. And then on Instagram, I'm looking just to make sure I get it right with the underscores and all of that. Yeah, it's Living_Stones_Elko. So those are our two main social medias. And yeah, we're going to be posting every so often opportunities for you guys to have your questions. We have a reel and a post up already, where you could certainly dive in there and find those. My face is on the reel. So it's this one.
It's a good face.
But thank you so much.
Zach thought so.
Yes, I hope so. Yeah.
Just kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, just pretty much any social media that you want to drop a comment underneath, I will be getting those notifications and, I can drop them in our little Google Doc and we will get to them. So far, we already have a huge Google Doc of questions that we want to get to. And some of them are just such big topics that we want to save them for like their whole own podcast. And yeah, some of them are very specific about the Bible. And so we're going to have those on different weeks where we just dive like really specifically into stuff that's going on in Revelation and different bigger Bible questions like that. And so got a lot of exciting stuff in the works here.
Should be good.
Yeah.
Should be good. Well, thank you guys for listening. Thanks for joining us. We're really excited to launch this Next Level podcast. If this material has been helpful to you, as always, we suggest that you head over to lsgive.com, maybe make a donation so that things like this can continue to happen. And additionally, share it with your friends. Let people know that we're doing this. Let people know that it's a place that they can connect. We would love to get to know you. We'd love to hear your questions. Yeah. Love to see what God is doing in your life, as well as hopefully you can take your relationship with God or your involvement with your church
to
the
next level.
So good.
Next level. All right. Well, thanks for listening.
Bye.